Okay, Erev Tov Rabosai, thank you for coming again. It's a little smaller and smaller, but as the weeks go on, we'll see who are the real the real warriors almost. But okay, so we have Lech Lecha this week. A lot of important things, a lot of fundamental ideas, a lot of practical ideas. And it's just very, very, very important. One of the main, I just wanted to start off with one main idea in Parshas Lech Lecha. There's a world famous Rabban in Parshas Lech Lecha. The Rabban, after let's say a person, or the Shnai Mikra, he learns Chumash and Rashi, or the Chumash and Unkelus. One of the most fundamental commentaries a person can learn after, let's say, Chumash and Rashi on the Torah is Ramban al Torah itself. It talks about so many different ideas. The most famous Ramban al Torah, I believe that people like to say, is the one in Parshas Bo. You really just whispered that to him. Very good. On what? You know what it's about? Kof Aluk Akfira Emuna. It's mainly centered around Emuna. But what's going on in Parshas Lech Lecha? There's a very, very famous the very, very famous idea of the Ramban, and it really starts with this. If you've been learning the Parsha a little bit, it's an obvious question to ask: what's been going on also the past? It's also a buildup. What in the world is the deal with all these details? So many details. Okay, I hear you're right. Some details are important. We want to know also ages. We like to know the whole gracious and gracious with the days. I understand there's certain things we want to know with the different creations of Shabbos, and we want to know our genealogy. We want to know who exactly our ancestors were. There's a certain Masorah which is very powerful, and okay, we want to know our facts. Let's say that this person lived to this age. This person lived to that age. But there's so many others, so many like just details that are just don't even seem so relevant to the actual thing. Do we care how many wells were dug? How many pits were dug in terms of every single place they traveled? Do we care about who prepared the food in every tent? Does it really matter? It sounds like one of these, long postcards for these next couple weeks sound like, you know, like an 8-week summer program. Everything that happened, all different places you went to, but in detail. In detail, I have a younger sister, and I remember she was on summer programs. She used to call me every day. She used to go into such details about like how things were going. Guys I know are very different. When they're in summer programs, when they're in yeshiva, like they call their parents, some call every day, some call once a week, and their parents ask, "Oh, so how's this?" And they're like, "Fine, good." Other than the words "fine" and "good," usually you don't really tell your parents anything really when you're in summer program in yeshiva. But we sort of hear that, so which is why when you learn Parshas Lech Lecha, you learn the next couple of parshios. There's so much detail which just doesn't seem necessary. So what's really pshat? So the answer is that it is necessary. The question is why or how is it necessary? How is it necessary? Why is it necessary? So says the Ramban. I'll read you a couple lines. It's going on the pasuk Vayavar Avram be'eretz ad makom Shechem. We know that Avram, the beginning says, you write Hakadosh Baruch Hu Avram. You know, wherever you're living right now, Canaan, it's good. Pack your bags. Let's go. So Avram travels. Where does he end up? The first place in Eretz Yisrael. It's in the Shomron. It's next to Shechem. But where right next to Shechem? What's the closest you shoot to Shechem in Eretz Yisrael in terms of legally which you're able to drive to it from? Elo Moreh. That's what the pasuk says. Elo Moreh. It's right next to Shechem. So we go through all these details. You have to know where it is and all these different stops. So Omer Lecha, says the Ramban, Klal Tavano Sobacho Parshas Habos, the next couple of Parshas, Be'inyan Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov, who Inyan Gogol His Skew Rabbi Sidi B'derech Ktzara, the Amru, and this is the Yeso. Really we could have just packed it in. It should have been one small thing. Rather, all these details are important. Why, says the Ramban, a famous principle that he's based on, that he bases this on. Kol ma she'ira le'avos simin lebanim. This is the famous concept of the Ramban of Maisel Avos Simen Libanim. V'lochein, and therefore, says the Ramban, Yarichu Haksuvim, the Psukim, we go into great length, B'sifra Masos, V'chafiros Haberos, every single place where we traveled, every, and all these wells that have been dug, V'shara Mikrim, And all these other cases and stories. Havminas, the thing that one has no toelis, has no purpose. What in the world are all these side details doing here? Unnecessary details, but still, no. It's coming to teach us certain things about the future. Everything that's going to happen, all these small details are ultimately going to have big is going to have major implications moving down the line on this yisod of Maisa Avos L'Sinim Libanim. It's a big yisod. He goes on. I don't want to read the whole thing because it's long. But one of the examples is he speaks about the three wells in which Yitzchak dug are connected to what the three Bat Hamikdash, the two that obviously were destroyed, and the third one that is Bez Hashem is on its way. And this idea is very important, that the fact that the Avos planted, all these small things that they did. Like he did, he was Avram was by Alon Moreh. Alon Moreh is in the Shomron. Next to the Shomron, what's also in the Shomron? We received the brachos and the klalos in Parshas Re'eh. Where did we receive the brachos and klalos? We remember one of them was in Har Grizim. That was where the brachos were, and the klalos were where? Har Eval, exactly. Har Grizim, that's Har Bracha. There's a yeshuv there today. Har Eval is right next to it also. So that was all, it was very symbolic, that the fact that where Avravino started, that's ultimately where, the identity of the Jewish people sort of continue. And this idea about doing these small things, which might not necessarily look, it might appear as to be unnecessary or just stam details, ultimately can have a lot of major implications moving down the line. And this is something that we can take for us also. This can be applied to us as well. It's a mushel, people like to say, regarding building, planting trees, and regarding building buildings. You look at these big buildings, like, wow, look at this tree, wow, it's so beautiful. But there's no real chokhmah to it. It looks pretty. But where did the real action come in? The action came in from within the roots, within the seeds that were planted by trees, and by a building, the foundation. Without a strong foundation, you see all these like construction sites. Looks like they're never going to finish. There's always like a bunch of dirt and a bunch of trucks. All of a sudden, you come back a couple months later, it's a massive building, and it's still standing there. Because those were the ikar times. Those small things, those small non-flashy details, those small things that don't look so relevant. All those like trucks and all the sand. That's the foundation of the building. Those are the things in which a person builds up. A lot of times people like to look. They look at finished products. They look at also a lot of gedolei Torah. They look at talmid chachamim. They just look at the finished product. Like, well, okay, so it's all so easy. You make a building. 6 months. Took it. That's it. The answer is no. You can't look at finished products. People don't realize the amount of energy, the amount of sweat. People look at us. Oh, Klal Yisrael. Look how we have it so easy right now, guys. Baruch Hashem, be able to learn here the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael freely. No distractions. There was a certain time where it wasn't like that. Whether it be in the times, whether it be in Europe, whether it even be before Europe, but Jews have constantly been persecuted. We look at, oh, it's so easy here. Look at all these Sfarim here. There were times in which in yeshivas they had one copy of Chiddush Rabbi Kiva Eger. It used to be a line of like 40 guys, like the Nevardic yeshiva used to say. They would take turns. They're online, like everyone was just like bottling. They were talking about like last night's score until it started. And they were talking about the sugya until everybody got a couple minutes to learn that Rabbi Kiva Eger. But now it's like it's so much easier, right? Either get it like at Bar Ilan or like the Rebbe makes like a photocopy about it. And it's something that we have to have a much, greater appreciation for. The fact that, there's a lot that goes into it. And the truth is that this is what the Avos did. The Avos ultimately planted, quote unquote, ruchniyistik seeds for us that ultimately created us as a nation. And the truth is, we did mess up. There are some things which our Avos did in the past, which we paid for. The Rabban also brings out Avram Avinu's lack of emuna when the famine occurred. Ultimately, we got punished. Well, we were sent. We were in Golos and Mitzrayim for that. We paid the price for that. Certain things about complaining, they can be very connected. But really, how do we apply that to us? Okay, what about us? Like, we also sort of want to be part of this whole building foundation. So what exactly happens? So Revolbi explains that every single person here in this world, especially Yeshiva Bachar, Revolbi the great Mashkiach, author of Ali Shur, says every single person has an opportunity to build, to plant Yesodos. On Rosh Hashanah, a person davens, a person makes certain Kabbalahs. This is the starting time, Rosh Hashanah. And the rest of the year is set. The stage is set. You plant, and then you grow. You say, wow, at the end of the year, wow, amazing. Look, you right? But it's not true. You don't look at a guy in June. It's what happened on Rosh Hashanah, what happened throughout the year. That's something that also that we have to sort of try to gain a lot of chizik from. And ideally for us, okay, so it's after Rosh Hashanah. But Pshat is, no, it's beginning Chorosman, it's new beginnings. It's a time, it's quote-unquote the harvesting season now in Yeshiva. You had your El. Right, we spoke about Chorosman a little about it last week. That now is the quote-unquote harvesting. You got to gather all these things. You know, there's different things you want to apply yourself to, plant yourself to. All these new shiurim that are going on. Take advantage. Because it's not like, oh, you're just going to go to shiur once a week and do this and do that. You know, shiur klali, Rav Yaakovson now gives shiur. I hear you give shiur once a week on the parsha. Those things are ultimately build a person for life. It's hard to say it now because you don't really have the vision of the building yet. Only architects really, really, really know what the finished product looks like. You look, you know, people used to tell me that this place used to be flat land. It was Modian was a bunch of dirt. You look out the window over there. You don't understand. You see the finished product. So that's the biggest thing. A person like Rav Yaakovson knows everything. He knows Kol Torah Kula. But you see, you know, he comes here once a week and think, you know, just wow, it just happened. Spent years applying himself. In Shalvin, in Yerushalayim, by Shlomo Zalman. It's amazing. Adkan idea number one regarding Maisa Avos and Sidon Lebanim. The things that we do now, the things that we do in Yeshiva, that's the biggest thing also. The things that you do in Yeshiva, ultimately, you'll be cashing in on your dividends for years to come, even outside Yeshiva. This is the time to build the real Yesodos. Idea number two. Something that was a bit connected to also something that we spoke about last week regarding the aspect of Ratzon Hashem. Something that I wanted to deepen a little. Something that I wanted to deepen the concept of Ratzon Hashem. We spoke about that last week, so I wanted to touch upon it maybe a little bit more this week. We see Avram Avinu. We spoke about how Avram Avinu was you know how his approach to different things was so much better than Noach. And we see that we find that Avraham Avinu also. This is amazing. This parsha is a tremendous. It's a revolution. Okay, last week was the Mabul. This week is like, this is where Judaism started. Adam Rishon, that was him. There was the generations, the Bnei Noach, but this is where Judaism starts. God, everyone's the world's worshiping idols. Avraham Avinu, you know, all of a sudden says, you know what? Let's make a revolution. Let's start. I've discovered this concept called Judaism. Join me, and it's amazing that he was able to convince these idol worshippers to come join him. And we spoke about the different approaches he took. The more nicer Kira approach, instead of forcing people, the idea of trying to teach them about God and different Yesodos of Emunah. Right, that's the best way he gave over his Torah, understanding Kodesh Baruch Hu through the actual Emunah. There's a Medrash Rabbah, Bereishis Rabbah, that says as follows: how great Avraham Avinu was. Es ha'adam b'schuso shel Avraham, Amar Reb Levi, ha'adam agadol ba'anakim, ze'Avraham. Avraham was the giant of the giants. the best of the best out there. There was no one better than him, says the Medrash Rabbah. Out of all people in Jewish history, I know what we're thinking. Moshe Rabbeinu, other people that didn't sin. Avraham Avinu started Judaism. He was a Anak, giant. Why? He was so great. He was really roy to be created even before Adam Arishon. He should have been the first man in the world. So what's pshat? So why do we wait? Let's say, I don't know, over 1,000 years for this guy named Avram to all of a sudden appear in the world. Ela Amra Kodesh Bochu Shema Yekalkel Ve'Ein Mi Sheyavon LeTakin Tachtav. There needed to be some type of tikkun. Adam apparently messed up, and Avraham Avinu needed to do some type of tikkun. Avraham was so great that he did what we've been talking for Adam's sins. So we gotta figure out a little bit. Adam, we gotta zero in on Adam's sin, and we have to figure out all of a sudden how was Avraham a tikkun? How did he fix that up? So, Rav Ari Finkel Zatzal, passed away a couple of years ago. He was the Rosh Shiva for the last few years of his life. He was Rosh Shiva of Mir Brachfeld, which is the Israeli breakoff yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva, which is located in Achuzat Brachfeld, which is in Kiryat Sefer in Modi'in Elit, which is 20 minutes away from here. He used to be the Mashkiach for many years in the Mir. He used to be the Baal Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Noran. He was a tremendous tzaddik. So he says as follows. Adam, his mistake wasn't so much around the tree and the eating. It was his attitude, so it was his approach. He thought that he knew more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He thought, you know what? This is the best thing for my Avodas Hashem. God says, no, you know what? Let me do this, and then I'll do tshuva, and I'll sort of, you know, get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing tshuva. But the truth is, that's wrong. He decided he knew better than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the etzem punishment. So all of a sudden, to my high now, so all of a sudden now, Avraham Avinu is now somehow supposed to come in and have these superpowers and sort of like fix that. So Rabbi Finkel explains that there was a way that he did it. He thought that all he did is he put Ratzon HaBorei before everything else. He doesn't matter. Akedas Yitzchak, right? He for years didn't have a son with Sarah. Finally, he had a son. After a couple years, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Time's up. Yitzchak's got to go. I want him with me." Akedas Yitzchak. What does Avraham Avinu do? He follows Ratzon Hashem. But not only does he follow Ratzon Hashem, it's also the way he does it. He does it in a way. He did it with his slavos. Right, we know. What does it say? The pasuk says, "Vayashkem Avram baboker." He woke up first thing in the morning and he did it. We know that's the makor for his reason makdim lemitzvos. Sachem daftal. That's really where he enjoyed it. He truly enjoyed fulfilling that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Talk about what it says in halach or not. That's when he clearly understood that was Ratzon Hashem. So he fulfilled Ratzon Hashem, and that was the tikkun. That's how we fixed that, right? That's how we fixed Adam's sin. Adam didn't care what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he really wanted. Avram did, and ultimately that was the biggest tikkun. That's also something that's also a challenge which we also need to be to work on ourselves. Sometimes figuring out what exactly Ratzon HaBorei is, figuring out, you know, what is it? Especially in these things, we don't know why we do certain things. It's like holy mitzvahs. Sometimes it's not about what's mutter us. You think HaKadosh Baruch really cares whether you waited 4 hours after eating meat before you ate dairy, depending on whatever minute you have, or whether it was 6 hours, five, four, five, six. I think the hours make a difference, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. It's about Ratzon Hashem. It's a certain form. It's not about what's mutter usher. God said this, and this is what God really wanted. Why? Okay, that's a much more philosophical question. But to understand, but just do, just fulfilling what God wants. And that, you know, we have to also try to figure out sometimes what does God want. It's not about, you know, just this. It's okay sometimes, you know, to be like Alfred and to be a little more energetic. And sometimes, if a person, let's say, it's not like the classic schedule, let's say, in terms of like learning. People feel like, oh, it's like mutter usser. There's like a schedule. Chas v'shalom, any, you know, everyone, you come morning Seder, night Seder, and morning Seder, afternoon Seder, night Seder. Right? But let's say on a Friday, even after flip, Chas v'shalom, anyone, let's say, learns after flip. Right? Chas v'shalom, it's on the schedule. I have to go by the schedule. Multi Shabbos. Gosh, you know, before a concert, after the concert, let's say there is no concert. Chas v'shalom, enter the Beis Medrash. But the truth is, it could be very well be that situation. You know, if a person has nothing going on, so a person, you know, playing, exercising on multi Shabbos is very recommended. You know, a person goes back for Shabbos, whatever. But it's like at a certain point, I'm sure there's some time that's open, especially if Shabbos is early. If Shabbos ends early, which God probably wants you at least to come. You know, you're here a little bit. Just come and sit. You learn on a Friday, multi Shabbos. I remember when I was younger and earlier in Shana Aleph, like the biggest satisfaction I had in learning was like when there were so little people there on a multi Shabbos, like in those like cold months, like November, December, and like I knew like all these friends, like they were like they had those like flag football games like a multi Shabbos. Again, if you're in the league, so it's all good. Does God really want me to go watch the game? Again, it's very, very geschmack, but like I'm here anyways, like I remember like, you start chazer because of multi Shabbos. Decided to make it like a kavua seder, and slowly that's when you sort of supposed to implement that into yourself. So those are certain things. Again, it's much easier. Again, a lot of times it's easy to figure out what Ratzon Hashem is. Obviously, there's certain circumstances where it's obviously a lot harder. You know, a person sometimes learning interferes with certain things in which you know you need to be at a certain place at a certain time. But it's unclear how important this thing is, and it's hard. But well, we spoke about that last week. That's the next stage of consulting our Rabbanim and getting Eitzah and figuring out, you know, what exactly is Ratzon Hashem. So Ad Kan idea number two. Let's talk about the third and final idea. We know in this week's Parsha, a certain mitzvah goes down. One of Avraham Avinu's 10 nisyonos is the bris milah. He has to give himself a bris milah. Avraham Avinu, 99 years old at the time, no children, has a wife, living in the desert, traveling a lot of traveling, no car. And then all of a sudden, God says, you know, it's like, you know, Brisbane, I'm sorry, you know, want with the holy covenant, as the art scroll would say, between you and me, right? Give yourself a bris milah. So this is it's wild, you know. This was again, he was very old. This is not such a simple operation. Even nowadays, not so simple. Again, and back then, do it on yourself. Also, it's very, very, very dangerous, very scary. And still, he didn't hesitate. Again, connected to the last idea, there was no hesitation there. Right away, there was no clearing the shiloh. Should I do it? Should I not do it? He's one of those guys that when the person says like, "Oh, God says, you know, jump." Avraham was one of those guys that said, "How high?" So. There's another interesting idea is the Radak points out is that the Bris Milah, God commanded Akash Baruch Hu God commanded Avraham Avinu to perform a Bris Milah on himself prior to Sarah becoming pregnant and ultimately giving birth to their son Yitzhak. So the Radak points out there's actually a certain reason in which this happened in terms of the order that the whole Milah took place before. He gives one answer. There's one explanation that says that what? That this way Yitzchak, he was born with a much higher level of Kedusha. That it was only after that Avraham Avinu gave himself the Bris Milah was it that they were obviously blessed with a child, and ultimately again the fact that they were able to have a child, you know, on a much, you know, higher level of Kedusha, which they were obviously much closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And another reason, it was a nace. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Avraham Avinu, it was a nace to everyone. That what? Even at 99 years old, a person that had an operation like that, like a bris milah, it was a raya to everyone, it was a raya to the world. a person can still, let's say, have a dupris meal and still be mekayim the mitzvah peruvu. It's not so pashut. A person wants to, let's say, do a certain mitzvah, but it could have certain effects on a certain person. And no one knew of this concept. It's a very risky concept. But still, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that nace. Another example in terms of how difficult this challenge was for Avraham Avinu, Rav Dessler, author of Michta Melio, he used to be the Mashkiach for many years in Ponovich of Bnei Brak. I think Nifter in the 50s or the 60s, somewhere around that. He speaks about the intensity, the magnitude of this challenge. Avraham Avinu, we know what type of guy he was a people's person. That was the way he was able to do the kiruv. You know, he was like going around from place to place, like preaching to the choir, as they say. And he was convincing them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and teaching them about Torah. And ultimately, everyone was coming, everyone was joining the bandwagon. But now, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, so God, but he was doing it in a very normal way. It was very relatable. So now God's telling him to do something like wild. He would have lost his reputation. He was about to lose his reputation. Here it is, the most normal man, like, you know, the guy that everyone wants to quote unquote have like a beer with, almost. You know, that's what they say about the presidents. Like, right? You're supposed to be a guy, a normal guy. You're supposed to have a beer with. Not that having beers is encouraged in yeshiva, but yeah, you know what I mean. So exactly, but so you wanted to do something wild. And you know what? He would have lost his approach to doing kiruv. It wouldn't have worked, right? Everyone would have thought this guy's the weirdest person. He's dangerous. I don't want to be involved in his bris milah, in doing a bris milah, whatever. This is crazy. I kind of like this whole, you know, like, hey, teach me about God. I kind of like this idea, but like, whoa, I kind of have to like do these like, self incisions on my body. It's not so posh. But still, he didn't care. He did not. Avraham Avinu still, even though he had his reputation on the line about his main method of Avodas Hashem was bringing Kiruv through his relatability. He said, no, I don't care. He wasn't embarrassed. He didn't care what anyone else thought. He didn't care about what other people were going to think. Oh, wow, he's doing something that might be, quote unquote, you know, extreme or almost, you know, ultra orthodox, as they would call it back then. But we find this concept also about, again, not being embarrassed sometimes to really, you know, get close to Hashem and really, you know, take it to the next level. So every day, we say every day during davening, right? Shouldn't be embarrassed. What does a person have to be embarrassed for? That's something also, that's the main idea of this idea, which you're supposed to take away, the main takeaway. You don't have to worry what anyone else thinks. A person wants to grow up. Yeshiva is the primary place for growth. This is where the main growth takes place. Especially this tkufa chorusman. You know, you want to take certain leaps. Just don't be afraid of what other people are going to think. Whether it be external improvements, internal changes. You want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't hold yourself back because someone else, because the two friends behind you are going to say, oh wow, that's weird, or you know what, that's you, man, that's not really shtag, that's more shtick. But like, don't care. If you really want to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, do it. Doesn't matter. You don't necessarily have to do, let's say, the quote-unquote, the cool things. Or hang out and listen with you know, in certain environments that necessarily, aren't necessarily 100%, you know, the best environments that a person should be hanging out with. Okay, so what? A person, you're scared that there's a peer pressure, someone else is going to say something? Don't worry about it. Be like Avraham Avinu. You have a lot of times in terms of, like, phones. Right? A person ideally shouldn't, let's say, a person who has a smartphone, every single person should have a filter. Because ultimately, without a filter, you're literally, you might be over the isser of lifnei iver regarding avodah zarah, gilui aris, and shlichus dam. But okay, so you know what? But it's not, you know, to the yeshiva gets the whole program set up, and let's say different people and different things. Well, I have this type of field, that type of thing. It messes up my phone, or you know, it's like I'm not gonna be able to check the scores or whatever. But what are my friends gonna think? So, who cares? If you deep down want to do something, you deep down want to say, you know what? I'm making Gedarim. I want to become close to Kosh Baruch Hu. And one of those methods that Litzis is going to have to be is, let's say, putting a filter on my phone. So be it. What are my other non-phone filter friends are going to? What are they going to say? Okay, so what? Worked with Avraham Avinu. The quote unquote, the person who said the greatest, the most anak, the person who really followed Ratzon Hashem, the person who completed all these challenges, the person who was saved from Akash Baruch, and ultimately the person who started Yadus. Maisa Avos Sesilim Abanim connected to the first thing, for the first idea. People, right, emulating those who are our ancestors, those who are greater than us, and figuring out, what did they do? They decided they want to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's something else that we could get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So those were three ideas that she spoke about on the parsha.